Good morning. I'm glad everybody could be out on this beautiful Lord's Day to gather together to have fellowship and to just praise Him. Do we remember what the church is to be, the way God intended it to be? Because sometimes we need to get back to the basics, even as Christians. Those who have been Christians for years and years, it's always good to get back to the basics, to be reminded. Because we do, as the church, allow distractions to pull us away from what we should be or who we should be focusing on. We have distractions all around. We have people and things that we move, shift our focus to. And it's time for us to be reminded. Because when we look at the church, can we recognize it as the church that Christ came and died for? Or is it unrecognizable? When people talk about the church, they often mean very different things. Some people think of a building, a denomination, a social gathering, programs, traditions, or activities. But when we open the Word of God, when we open the Bible, we see the church as God intended it. We see it in its purity, simplicity, and in its power. Peter would come on the day of Pentecost to preach. And his sermon was a very powerful sermon because it cut the people's hearts. And they come to him and they ask, "What must we do?" And Peter tells them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we see shortly after, in verse 41, 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Here's the beginning of the church in Jerusalem. But it would not remain in Jerusalem. It would spread throughout the many regions and eventually the whole wide world. But then we have verses 42 through 47 of Acts 2. And it will show us what the church should be. So beginning in verse 42 here, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." The church here, the very first thing they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles were chosen by God. They had the Holy Spirit that was promised to them. And the Spirit would help them make known the mysteries of the gospel. We see that the mark of the church is not entertainment, politics, social status, and human philosophy. None of those things belong in the church. What the apostles taught was the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for the church and rose again 3 days later. Why is that important? Because the apostles were Christ's chosen messengers. In John 16, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak from himself. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." The church belongs to Christ, not to man, to Christ. So the church must be governed by Christ's words, not man's. not the doctrine of man, the doctrine of Christ, the very book that is in the pews in front of you, the very book that you may have with you today, the very books you can put on your phones today, iPads, computers, whatever it may be. As the church, we are to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Because Paul later would write in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. The church loses its identity when it loses devotion to the truth. And not just coming here together and listening to the truth, being in truth, but when we are out in the world. Christ came to die, to save the whole world. It's not just here in a building. The world is outside of these four walls. There are people that we know and not know who are lost, who are hungering for truth. And that's true today. There are plenty of people hungering for truth. Actually, there the interest in truth, the interest in the Word of God has grown in the past couple of years, which is a great thing. But we as the church have a job to do. One, we need to make sure we're abiding in truth, that we, our lives are lining up with the Word of God. And then we take that good news, and we take that truth, and we go forth preaching and teaching, whether it's in season or out of season. And how I say it, whether it's popular or not popular. Christ told and warned his followers in John 15 that the world's going to hate you. Why? Because the world, you're not of the world. You have been sanctified, set apart. All who are Christians, all who have believed and obeyed have been set apart. Or should be. To do his will. To please the one who came and died and rose again. That's our purpose. You know, the church can have a full building, an active calendar, and a polished image. But it is, if it is not devoted to Scripture, it's not the church God intended. The name on the building means nothing. It means nothing. It's what's going on the inside. Are we worshiping according to what God has told us in His Word? Are we living out His Word? Are we taking it seriously? Are we in it every day? That's what matters. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we devoted to sound doctrine? Do we love the truth? Do we study Scripture seriously? Do we shape our worship, our work, and our lives by the Word of God? Those are the questions, four questions we need to ask ourselves this morning. Because the Lord's church must be a teaching church, but not just to each other, but to all on the outside. Secondly, we see in Acts 2:42, the church must be devoted to fellowship. The very thing that we are doing here this morning. Biblical fellowship is deeper than casual friendship. You know, I have, well, really only have one friend from high school. We've been friends since elementary school. And yes, we'll be friends until the day the world ends or until we die. But it's not the same relationship that I have with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not the same fellowship as I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just eating together or social enjoyment. You know, I'm glad that we do have fellowship meals. It's a good thing. The early church did that. They ate together. They spent time together. what fellowship is, the very fellowship that we have this morning, all who are in Jesus Christ, is shared participation in Christ and in one another as His people. These Christians had been brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ, the very thing that was spilled on the day He was nailed to a cross. They had obeyed the same gospel, the same Lord, same faith, same baptism, same hope. The world divides people by race, wealth, background, and status. But guess what? In Christ, we are all brethren. In Christ, we are all one. Who cares about race? We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Who cares if you're wealthy or poor? We're all one in Jesus Christ. Who cares about your social status? We see Scripture, the Word of God, teaching us we are not to treat someone who's wealthy differently from those who are poor. If they are both brothers or sisters in Christ, we are to treat them the same. We are to have fellowship. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. What's Paul saying here? We're not to be cold. I've been in congregations where it felt cold and not physically. I have been in congregations where there were divisions going on, where there were cliques going on. And let me tell you, that's not the church. It is not a place where people sit in the same room and never truly know each other. You know, something that's very important is that everyone gets up and gets to know one another, that we are a family. Treat your brothers and sisters in Christ like you would your own children, your own wife, your own parents, with warmth and embracing one another. There's a minister I used to know, well, I still know, still around. First time I ever met him, he took the text very seriously with a holy kiss, grabbed a hold of me and gave me a big kiss on the cheek. That shocked me, not used to that. His name's Willie Franklin, by the way. He's a very faithful preacher. But he would embrace everyone with a hug. And he would embrace them like they were his own brothers and sisters. So fellowship means we care, we encourage, we bear burdens, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we weep with those who weep, we strengthen the weak, we restore the fallen, we help the needy. You know, a congregation can be doctrinally sound and yet lack warmth, compassion, and genuine love. We can be doctrinally sound and still lack these things, still lack love, compassion. Third, the church must be devoted to the breaking of bread. We see that in Acts 2, 42. Now, this expression can sometimes refer to a fellowship meal, but here it's referring to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was central in the life of the early church. Why? Because it keeps Christ at the center. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a once a year thing. It's not just a twice a year, once a month, twice a month thing. It's not even a once a week thing. It's a daily thing we need to remember. The bread which represents His body, which was broken for us. His blood, which was shed on the cross. And thank God that He rose 3 days later. Because if He wouldn't have rose, we would still be condemned today. We would have no hope. We'd have no peace. We'd have no salvation. Every time the church comes around the Lord's table, we remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was being betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. We do it, and we proclaim it until he comes back. And on that day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One important thing about the church is we are to never move away from the cross. We are never to remove Christ from the center, because when we do, we are no longer the church God intended us to be. But it's not just on a Sunday. It's every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's an everyday thing. We are called to surrender to him daily. We are called to remember him daily. When we do forget, we end up like the Israelites in ruins spiritually. Sin being our master once again. And finally, prayer. The church must be devoted to prayer. In verse 42, it ends with, and to the prayers. The church that walks with God must be a praying church. Once again, not just in a building once or twice a week, but every single day. Prayer expresses dependence, faith, humility, and trust in the power and mercy of God. That's what prayer expresses. Do we depend on God? Because one reason churches become weak is because they become self-reliant. They depend on talent, money, prayer, or plans and personalities more than on God. We need churches that believe in prayer again. That's what we need. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. The early church depended on God. The early church prayed daily. They were in the apostles' doctrine daily. Once again, notice the word daily. It's an important word. They remembered the Lord's death. They remembered his body and the blood that was spilled daily. They had fellowship daily. It's not just formal prayer or public prayer. You know, when we worship, we have an opening, we have a closing prayer. If we wanted to have more prayer, that's fine, that's great. But it's not just formal or public, but heartfelt, God-centered, believing prayer. Do we go through the motions? Do we just say the same prayer over and over when we are called to do opening or closing prayer? Is it heartfelt? If it's not, something needs to be changed. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul took prayer seriously. As he's writing to the Philippians, he's in prison. He suffered. It wasn't easy. If you read through the book of Acts, you see what the apostles went through. If we want to be the church God intended, we must be praying people. If not, then we will not be his church and have our lampstand removed. And so, to sum all of this up, when we look at just verse 42, we see what the early church that Christ came and died for, what they were all about. It wasn't about anything going on outside of the walls. When they gathered together, it was about God. It was about Christ and what he did. It was about the doctrine that was left, that was preached to them, that was given to them, that was entrusted to them. It was about fellowship. Fellowship was important. Not just when we gather here, not just when we have a meal together. The Lord's Supper was the center. Christ was the center, but not just when they were together. Prayer was important. So when we look at the early church, they were the church that Christ came and died for. The church that he established. But today, are we that same church? Do we do the things that the early church practiced, that the early church lived? Or have we gotten away from that? Have we gone astray? That's the question we need to answer this morning. But if you're not in the church, if you haven't been added to the church this morning, I pray and hope that you make that decision to come forward, to believe and obey and to be added to the church. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. And you must believe the word, Mark 16:15-16. That's important. Without belief, there's nothing more that can be done. You must believe the very word that is before us this morning. But then, you must repent, which means change, Acts 3:19. Repent means change. We are changing. We're no longer the same person we were. When we repent of our sins and we turn back to God, we are now changing to be his. Then we must confess our faith in Christ. Meaning, not be ashamed. Romans 10:9-10. Paul was not ashamed. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. We are to confess him before men, not deny. But it doesn't stop there. It's not simply faith alone, but obedience. We must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21, and so forth and so on. When we are immersed, our old self is being buried in the likeness of Christ. And the blood of Christ washes over us. And when we raise out of that water in the likeness of his resurrection, we are now walking in newness of life. We are now a new creation. We are perfect. We are holy. We have been justified and sanctified. And one day we will be glorified. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means being the church God intended you to be. Being in his word daily, having fellowship daily, remembering his death daily, and being a prayerful Christian, depending on him daily. Hebrews 10:23. Or if you were a Christian, have gone astray, you've been slacking, you have been struggling, whatever it may be, I pray that you come forward this morning and allow the church, the Lord's church, to assist you, to help you. That's what we're here for. Let us pray for you. Let us help you in any way. We love you and the Lord loves you. We want you to come back and be restored. So if you're here this morning, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.